What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And we're going to tackle a topic today that is one of Delaney's favorite books.
Yeah.
And is a quiz that it's called The Four Tendencies.
Yeah. Oh, so fantastic.
Rubin.
By Gretchen Rubin. It's incredible. Also, one of the best-selling author of The Happiness Project, if you've read that. I'm very excited to dive into this. This really helped me immensely with my workaholism and just kind of tricking myself into handling my own personality. That's pretty much what this has done.
That's the best review. Yeah. This tricked me into handling my own personality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, kind of like making sure your personality is working for you instead of against you, you know?
Oh.
I think that's a good
way to
look at it.
That's a really good way to put that.
Yeah.
It's a great way of putting that.
And also dealing, you know, Cam is completely opposite of me, so I definitely learned a lot about him
he
in this book,
really
too.
I don't know how the two of you work so well together.
Yeah.
You could not be more different.
We are polar opposites, but in the things that really connect us, we're the same. I think we're just different enough to where we don't want to kill each other. You
right.
Know?
Right.
So it works. Another really fun announcement that we have a new Patreon tier.
Woo!
Yes. We have the Type A Plus Patreon tier. It's $25 a month. I'm going to just kind of briefly go over all the tiers that we have. So we got a lot of feedback from you guys saying that you love everything that's happening in the $40 tier, but you really just can't commit to that monthly price, which we totally understand. And a lot of you do not live in areas where you can take advantage of that free lifetime supply of tickets. You kind of, you're not close to any of the major cities that, you know, Taylor, Kelsey, and I will be going to. So we totally understand. We've created a tier for you guys. And it includes Skype calls from us. We're going to be giving 3-on-1 Skype calls with you guys in between podcast recordings whenever we have time. And monthly call-ins. You'll be able to call in the studio and leave a voicemail of advice or question or feedback, and we're going to be answering that live on Self-Helpless. Another thing called the Helpster's Choice, which you'll be able to pick an topic for Self-Helpless every single month. You guys get to vote on that, and then we do it. And then we will be sending off monthly signed merchandise. We've been sending off autographed pictures and t-shirts and mugs and all that good stuff to you. And then again, you still get the 2 bonus episodes per month. So just quickly, now we have 3 tiers. And again, you guys have all contributed to these tiers.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your feedback. We take everything that you say into account to make this beneficial for everybody. We want to give you the rewards that you want. I mean, it's like... it was even your idea to come up with like a Facebook group. I mean, it's been your idea to come up with these like certain t-shirts and all this stuff. So again, you guys have asked for a lot of this and we want to deliver. So we still have the Helpsters tier, which is $5 a month for 2 bonus episodes. And now we have the Type A Plus tier, $25 a month for Skype calls, monthly call-ins, Helpsters Choice, monthly signed merch, and the 2 bonus episodes per month. And we also have the This Is How We Live Now tier for $40 a month, where you get 4 tickets to any and all of our headlining shows for life, monthly one-on-one rewards. Kelsey gives you and the room of your choice a full makeover. Taylor makes you a lovely journal with all kinds
of
stuff.
We'll see if I keep doing
quotes and things. And you know, and
via email, by the way. My makeovers, I can't come to your place. Tell you, I feng shui it by telling you, okay, move this here. You should maybe try and buy a plant for this corner, whatever, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which that journal thing, oh my God, my perfectionism, I don't know if that'll let me do it.
Did you see that she sent in that she loves it?
No, I didn't see that.
I think she tagged it on the Facebook group that she
loves. Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God. So, I really, that was a lot.
Yeah. Oh, and just also, my most recent reward winner for Patreon still never got back to me.
Oh.
So just a heads up, if I don't have it pulled up right now, but if you were the person who won my most recent reward.
I think it was Jessica.
Yeah, hit me up because if you still want it, I'm here for you.
Boom.
If you don't, it's fine. But
there we go. And then my monthly one-on-one reward will be shipping you a dick mug and giving you any kind of career and relationship advice that you want, especially if it's like online dating. You want me to help punch up your profile? Yeah. I can do all that for you. And then the This Is How We Live Now tier, you also get an exclusive Helpster t-shirt, Skype calls, monthly call-ins, Helpster's Choice, monthly signed merch, and of course the 2 bonus episodes per month. Thank you all so much for signing up for Patreon. Every person that does, it's a step closer to our live tour. We cannot thank you enough for the support. It's been incredible. And we love doing the episodes and all the rewards.
Yeah, we're sitting in my new amazing apartment, like, because of the help of Patreon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like every time you guys want to support us that way, it's the coolest thing and you actually change our lives.
Oh, yeah. And another thing, I'm going to be able to quit my day job because of this, basically because of this podcast. I mean, it is because of Dicks by Delaney, but I've gotten so much support from the Helpsters, the spreading the word about Dicks by Delaney. I have so many orders that I actually am going to be leaving my corporate cushy day job.
That is so amazing.
To do Dicks by Delaney full time, which I
and this podcast
and this podcast, exactly, my dream jobs basically. And that was going to free up so much time for all of us to record even more during the day and do even more things for Self-Helpless. So very excited.
Yeah, and I'm moving in 3 weeks, and we're all going to be within 6 minutes of each other.
Yeah,
six minutes of the studio.
Oh,
it's crazy.
My God. It's
by the way,
a dream.
We're recording in my apartment today because we had like a timing conflict with the studio. So you won't have actual video of this episode on YouTube, but we will put the audio on YouTube. So just a heads up, it's just kind of like a weird thing for this particular episode.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the last kind of thing we want to plug is a very hysterical comedian, Ted Alexandro, has his special out right now.
Yeah, fellow ATC member.
Yeah, senior class of Earth. You can go to atcspecials.com to view it. And we love all things comedy. And this is their very first special that they've released. And we love being a part of their network. Mm-hmm. They have an amazing vision for their company as far as like direct from comedians to fans. And we have so much control, all the creative control over our content.
Yeah.
And it's basically just a dream to work with them. So if you support that, that would be lovely.
Yeah. Ted's hilarious.
Yeah,
he's super
so
funny.
Freaking funny.
Right. Should we segments? Kick things off?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a great quotable. This is on Instagram, and I can't remember. I think maybe we got tagged in the comments of this photo. I think that's how I found it. So this quote says, "An unhealed person can find offense in pretty much anything someone does. A healed person understands that the actions of others have absolutely nothing to do with them. Ooh. Each day you get to decide which one you will be."
Wow.
Wow.
Love that.
Good. That's a really good one.
Dude, yeah. I've been on both sides of that for sure.
Yeah.
So that's a great quote. I also just realized, like, a huge thing I have to announce is that my album comes out tomorrow.
Yes! Oh, yes! Yes.
I'm so stupid. I've been sitting here all day like, I guess I'll just do the quotable segment because I don't have anything to announce. I'm like, bitch, your fucking album, you idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, my album, Savorite. So this episode comes out on Monday, the 8th, and it's available for pre-order. As you guys are listening, it officially drops and you'll be able to listen to it tomorrow on Tuesday the 9th. But go to iTunes. It's on Google Play, Spotify, like almost anywhere you can get an album, my album is there. So go pre-order right now. It will come, like, it will be downloaded into your phone or wherever you're buying it tomorrow. And it's called Savor It. And I would so appreciate any help you can give me.
Yay!
Yeah.
We're so proud of you.
Thank
Very
you.
Very exciting.
It's also on Pandora. I have like a Pandora comedy station now. So if you type Kelsey Cook, you can hear like individual tracks of mine intermixed with other people that they think is like similar to my comedy. So yeah.
Sweet. Is that how Pandora works?
It is.
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
I realized I was like, oh, I had a Pandora in 2012, and so I like got my password emailed to me, and it was so crazy to see like Kelsey Cook Radio.
Oh, thanks for supporting me.
That's so cool.
So yeah, I would love any helpster support you guys can give. If you want to download it, go do it. Savor It.
Woo.
Anywhere. Yeah.
Yes.
It's great. What do we? What else did we have for segments?
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. I have a treat yourself. I bought a couch. Oh my gosh. Oh. I'm so ready to move. I'm still 3 weeks away and I found a couch at Big Lots of all places. If you're looking for a couch that is cheap, I found a sectional at Big Lots, $700.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
It's so cheap and it's so, so insanely comfortable.
So good.
Yeah, I'm just, and then my goals update was just finally sending that journal.
Nice job.
Oh my gosh.
And
seriously.
Hannah liked it. I think it's in the Facebook group.
I got to look at that.
You got to look at it.
That's a relief. I had messaged her and just been like, look, I know this is taking too long. I was like, I have started it and started a different one and then gone back to the original one.
God.
And I have spent a lot of time and money on stickers and pens. And I'm
so
sorry. I just felt like it was never going to be like what I wanted it to be. And at a certain point I just had to be like, all right, I have to send this now.
It's good enough.
And so I'm glad she liked it because that was a struggle.
Yeah.
It's just hard when it's for somebody else and they're like somebody who's so supportive. Like Hannah's so supportive of this podcast.
Great.
And I just so wanted to do a good job for her. And I'm just like, oh, she's going to hate it. She's going to change her mind about the whole podcast. So, yeah.
We just love you guys so much.
Can I say a quick treat yourself based on something that you told me to do, Delaney?
Yes.
So we moved this week and I ended up hiring movers, which I was being so cheap about. And I was like, no, we will just rent a truck. And me and Kane and my 65-year-old mother will haul furniture. And I don't know what I was thinking. So I looked it up. The prices, I mean, it ended up being a few $100. And
which is a steal.
That is a
Most
steal.
Companies charge like $600 to $800.
Really?
I moved to Fullerton, like almost $1,000.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
With tip, it was like $400.
Yeah.
And which again, just being weird with money, I was like, oh God, maybe we could have done it. But honestly, watching what they did, there's a reason that those people do that for a living. Yeah. They had a whole system. They fucking hauled all our shit in and out within like 3 hours, almost 4 hours. It was crazy. So thank you so much, Delaney, for telling me, hey man, this is very much worth your money. Treat yourself. We would have all, Kane and I would still be like icing our backs we had decided to try and do this by ourselves.
Not worth it.
No.
It's not worth it. It'll take you 8 hours at least to do on your own. Everybody's in a shitty mood. You're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
It just makes for a miserable day.
Oh yeah. You're bound to get into a fight or two.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Gonna drop something. Gonna ruin something.
Yeah.
Dude,
they did a great job. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Truly, if you hadn't suggested it, we would have just done it ourselves.
Oh,
and it would have really sucked.
I'm so glad you did it. Yeah. I'll never go back. I can never. I'll always hire movers.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. Once you do it, you can't go back.
100%.
So thank you for that.
Oh yeah. I have like a weird, I think it's a treat yourself, but it smells really bad. Okay. So
that's exactly what Delaney would say about something.
So as part of like the Candida diet, so between the Candida diet that I've I've pretty much stuck to. I've treated it a little bit.
Yeah.
I've added probiotics and vitamin C to my diet, back on the birth control pill. So I'm sure that's only helping like regulate my skin also. But I also decided to make my own face wash because I was just like, well, maybe the chemicals and some of this stuff is just not sitting well with me. So I decided to put honey, apple cider vinegar, cucumber, and a little tea tree oil into my blender and just bottled that shit up, put it in the fridge, and then I just slowly like...
Is that something you found online?
I found a bunch of different things online, so I just ended up making up my own recipe.
Oh, that's...
And it is disgusting. I mean, it smells... It's like... Yeah, it's the light... I mean, it smells like garbage that you're adding on garbage. I mean, it's disgusting. But... My skin looks super good, and I have no idea if that's part of it.
It does look really healthy.
But, like, maybe, I don't know. It smells so bad, I won't make it like that again. Because it is literally like I'm putting vomit on my face every time I shower.
Can you put, like, essential oils in it or something?
I can do that to make the smell better, but I think I'm just going to try, like, maybe honey and, like, aloe vera next time as a mix or something. Because, it's bad. It's bad. But I feel like it's only...
Dude.
I don't know if it's working or if it's all the other things that are working, but now I'm afraid to mess with it because I'm like, well, shit, if this is making my skin
it looks
look
great.
Good,
it looks really look healthy. It looks really balanced.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of time you can look at somebody's skin and go like, oh, they're using too many things that are drying them out and their skin looks tight or flaky. Sometimes it looks too oily. Your skin looks very balanced.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could be the dumpster. Wash that I have, but
it sounds like bile.
It was just disgusting.
Like,
I mean,
that
there's
acidic.
It's like the bits of cucumber is the exfoliant, and then the honey is the moisturizer, and the apple cider vinegar is like the
toner,
cleaner or toner, right?
Yeah.
And then the tea tree oil makes it smell less disgusting, but it's still fucking.
I feel
garbage.
Like the cucumber is what it makes it smell bad. Is that?
It's all gross. I mean, it's so gross. Like I can't even explain to you how gross it is.
Oh God.
But I'm also like, what if it's working?
Yeah. You should put some like rose water in there.
Oh, there you go.
What I do after when I get out of the shower. I found this this toner that's rose water and witch hazel that I put on my face.
Oh, okay. Good.
So I'll figure out something that smells better. But I just wanted to throw it out there that, hey, if you're having some weird skin shit, this disgusting concoction might work. You never know.
Does Cam smell it when he kisses you?
No. It's once you wipe it off,
it's gone.
You rinse it off, it's fine. It just... When I'm in the shower, I'm like,
ew,
plugging my nose to put it on my face.
Ew.
Yeah,
that is,
how
girl.
Do you feel about natural skin wash as opposed to not? Do you feel strongly about it either way?
I think skin stuff is so personal and like, it's really hard to be like, okay, well this thing worked for me, so it will work for you. There's a lot of things in skincare where it's like, oh, that thing that changed your life and you loved is the reason that I'm now in the dermatologist's office because it fucked me up so much.
Right.
I've really been loving the Glossier, skin cleanser. It has rose water in it and it's very calming and soothing and like simple. It actually, the cleansing agent is what is used in contact lens cleaner, so it's like safe for your eyes and stuff like that. It's very gentle. I really like it. I meet people who have beautiful skin that are like, oh, I just washed with honey.
Yeah.
And I just have this feeling that if I did that, I would develop the most heinous acne because it wouldn't be enough for me to like get the shit. I also wear, most days I wear face makeup and I need something that's actually taking that off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. How does honey?
I think it's antibacterial.
Yeah, honey's antibacterial, but it's like it's sticky. I can't picture doing it, but it's clearly working for Delaney. Delaney's skin looks fabulous.
Yeah, I'll bring some of my dumpster concoction over for you.
No, I'm okay.
I use this stuff and it's expensive and it's, you know, it's probably just chemicals and stuff. So I don't know.
What brand is it? Is it the Rodan?
Exuberance?
Huh.
I get it at Ulta.
Okay.
And I use I have like a face wash and a toner and
a thing
and a moisture.
Your skin looks fabulous. Again,
it's very
nice. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it.
There's nothing on it right now. I haven't been using anything except tinted moisturizer.
Your skin looks amazing. Not a fucking pore on your face.
Did you notice I was breaking out a little bit yesterday though? That's, I haven't been eating processed sugar
and
we had cake because the Oxnard Levity Live staff was so nice and made us a cake.
Yeah.
And
they made Taylor a cake. They didn't make us a cake.
They made a cake.
Take your cake credit.
And we ate some, and the next day I could already see it.
Wow. On my skin.
And like today it already looks better, because yesterday I was like, oh my God, I'm not.
It's kind of nice to know that like you saw such an immediate reaction that you're like, well, yeah, this is what it does to me, and I can just avoid it or whatever. But
oh, it's nuts. It's been great. Like, and I haven't had caffeine in a few weeks now. Does my head hurt every day? Yes. But you know, we're getting out of it's making me never want to have caffeine again.
Wow.
Because it's just taking so long to flush it out.
It's a drug. It's a real thing.
It's a real drug. But even the sugar stuff, like Kyle's been doing it with me, and we like we had cake the other night, and then afterward we were like, you know what? Nothing tastes better than like when we get a mango from Whole Foods. Like,
oh my God, gross. Please don't be those people. I don't know if we can be friends if you ever say that sentence again.
It's true though. Have you had like a fresh mango?
Oh yeah. Fresh mangoes are fucking amazing.
And there's a lot of sugar in fresh mango.
I'm not into mangoes. I think they're so overrated. They are just such a boring fruit to me.
Oh, okay. They're not mangoes sweet. And Beyonce. Yeah. Delaney doesn't get it.
I was just going to say, like, I can never trust Delaney after finding out she thinks that Beyonce is like nothing special. I'm like,
I think she's special.
Here,
I just, I don't know. But mango.
No, you don't. So you don't think she's special.
They're so blah to me. They're not sweet enough. They're just boring.
What? They're like the sweetest one.
Oh, I'm just like,
bad mango.
I much prefer just like strawberries or kiwi or a peach.
The lowest sugar fruits is what you're saying.
I don't know, watermelon.
Mango kicks you in the tongue, man. Yeah. Like, you've just had a bad mango. Mango is amazing.
Do you get like the pre-cut mangoes in the containers?
I've had all kinds of mango, and I'm just like, why am I eating this? There's so much better fruit out there.
Delaney, you might get kicked off the podcast.
Was it soft?
Just write in and tell me that you agree with my mango.
Wait, was it soft like a baby's head? The fresh mango you ate?
Oh, here's the thing.
Why are you feeling so many soft baby heads that that's your point of reference to a fruit
texture? When you feel a mango for ripeness, really any fruit, don't you kind of think like, oh, it's like a baby head?
No, you, weirdo. That's so creepy.
Dude,
is it soft like a baby's head?
She compares
what are you, a murderer?
I do. I want one.
Everything
so
to babies. Yeah.
Oh, I can't get one yet. That's why.
I can't get
one. Make one later. All right, we
gotta get into it. No more rambling.
Oh God, we're gonna get in trouble for the rambles. Okay, here we are, guys. Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin. I feel like this is a I think it's a must read, just in the same vein as the Five Love Languages. I think it's really gonna help you figure out your personality and why you do the shit that you do.
Yeah.
Okay, so just a little overview. There's four, according to Gretchen, there's four different types of tendencies.
Yeah.
The upholder, who is able to meet outer expectations and can meet inner expectations. The obliger, who can meet outer expectations but resists inner expectations. The rebel, who resists outer expectations and resists inner expectations. And the questioner, who resists outer expectations but meets inner expectations. So if you're trying to figure out like how to kind of tell these apart, they have little quotes that go along with them too. So the upholder, who meets outer expectations and inner expectations, discipline is my freedom. I guess that's how they feel. Okay.
Yeah. And remind me which one you are, Delaney.
I'm the obliger. So I can meet outer expectations, but I have a really hard time meeting inner expectations.
Okay.
So the quote that is assigned to my tendency is, you can count on me and I'm counting on you to count on me. Or else I won't do it. Like, I won't get shit done. And then the rebel, who resists outer expectations and resists inner expectations, is, you can't make me and neither can I. Very interesting. And then the questioner, who you guys got, which I was so surprised.
Taylor and I are both questioners.
That's amazing. Yeah. So a questioner resists outer expectations but meets inner expectations. I'll comply if you convince me why. That's your guys' tendency.
Yep.
Wow, I was so shocked by that. I really thought you guys were going to get obligers or upholders.
Yeah.
Because I'm an obliger, especially because Kelsey and I are usually so parallel. I really thought Kelsey would get an obliger. Can you want to guys tell me about the quiz that you took and all that?
I'm so bummed because I pulled up on my phone to talk about the results page and it refreshed it and it basically took me back to like having to retake the quiz.
Really?
So I don't have the things pulled up in front of me.
The results that says you are a questioner?
Yeah. Do you have it pulled up? Okay, great.
Yeah.
Good thing you guys got the same one. Look at that.
Yeah.
I know. Look at that.
I know.
I thought I was going to get upholder also.
Me too.
The one who meets inner and outer expectations.
Yes, I was shocked that you guys got questioner.
But the fact that, which is like such a narcissistic thing to say, I thought I would get upholder. I meet all the expectations. But when I read through this, I felt like it really made sense. Did you feel like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I exact same boat as
That's
you.
Amazing.
I was surprised at first that I got it. And then I started reading. I was like, oh, bitch is a questioner. I really was like, oh, I guess I am. To me,
Kelsey was referring to herself as bitch.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I was reading it thinking like, God, what a fucking annoying personality type this is, because it does totally reflect what I've always thought of myself, that I'm like a Lisa Simpson, where it's just like raising my hand at like every point in class and like having all these questions and trying to answer things. And it's just all based on like reason and logic and fairness.
Right.
And
yes.
Taylor and I, like, one big thing that connects you and I is like how much we are into justice, and that like we shouldn't waste our time doing something that isn't right or fair or doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, if you tell me to, I'll do it.
Yeah. Delaney's like, I can't take care of myself because I made all these other commitments. Yeah. I'm too busy being a bridesmaid to everyone.
Exactly.
All the time.
Seriously.
Every day.
So how many times have you been a bridesmaid, man?
Well, you're like a professional bridesmaid.
Yeah. I've been a maid of honor twice. This will be my second time being a bridesmaid, kind of a third. And then I've officiated 2 weddings. So Kelsey would be my third one I officiate. So what is that, like 7?
Been wow.
7 weddings in the last 4 years, maybe?
Oh my gosh.
Dude. Yeah, that's so funny. But I am like you, like we talked about with my Tonight Show experience, that there were times where I was being given notes for how I should do something and I just kind of like blindly went with it.
Right. Yeah.
So there must be a little bit of upholder.
But maybe
in
it
me.
Answered your question, yes. As why am I doing this? Maybe they gave you an answer that you agreed with.
Yes,
you know?
That's a good point.
So maybe you're not so much. Maybe they just
it met
fulfilled what, that need.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did the Netflix special and they told me I couldn't wear a white shirt and then somebody else was wearing white. I was like, can you just go talk to someone and bring back an answer that will make me feel okay? Like,
yeah.
I know it's not going to change anything, but it's going to bother me forever,
right.
Not knowing why.
Yeah. So the question, it says, at times people may feel overwhelmed by a questioner's relentless appetite for information and justification.
You're just a little kid going, but why?
But why?
But why?
Yeah.
But why?
Yeah. Their constant questioning may be perceived by others as disrespectful, defiant, undermining, or showing a lack of team spirit.
Team spirit.
So me. skillful questioners learn to ask questions in a way that seems constructive. Dude, I do that all the time with Kane. Man. If he's doing shit that's like pissing me off and I just am like, he's being such an idiot right now, but I'm gonna try to avoid telling him he's an idiot and just be like, hey, but why would you, can you explain to me why you would think that's a smart thing to do? Like, I try to disguise it as like, just explain to me,
right.
Tell me from your point of view, because I know he's not gonna be able to like explain it.
Oh my god, I've done the same thing where I'm like, do you think you do this because you are not listening or
yeah.
because you have a bad memory?
Yeah. Well, I talk about it on stage. I just started talking about it on stage this weekend, but like 2 weeks ago, he decided to make a smoothie for us for the first time. And there was like a jam going on in the smoothie or in the blender. So he took a wooden spoon while the blender was on and like mashed up the jam.
No.
And I came out and there was a giant chunk of the wooden spoon missing. And he was just going to serve it to us like that with the wooden spoon chunk in the smoothie. And I was like, I need you to explain to me right now how you think that that's like an okay thing to do. Why you would put it in with the blender on and why you would think it's okay for us to drink wood pulp. Like, it was so hard for me to not be like, you're being a fucking idiot right now.
Yeah.
And I just had to try and question him. But anyway.
Splendor smoothie for you.
Yes,
happy
seriously.
Breakfast.
It says questioners sometimes suffer analysis paralysis, which you and I have definitely done, when they find it difficult to make a decision or move forward because they keep wanting more and more information.
Yes. Oh my gosh, totally. I am just drowning myself in all the deets,
yes,
of every decision I could possibly make.
Yeah,
because I don't want to be wrong.
The last thing I'll right. say about it is, says ironically, many questioners dislike being questioned, so they consider their actions carefully, or they consider their actions carefully, so they find it tiresome to explain or to be asked to justify their decision.
Yeah, it's like, dude, I already did this.
Yeah,
I already
trust
did the
me.
Grunt work for you.
Yes,
it's fine.
God damn, that's
so funny.
So when I read all that, I was like, oh, I'm definitely a questioner.
Dude, it's so funny because Cam is a questioner, and questioner obliger relationships are pretty successful. So I'm curious to know what Kyle and Kane are.
Yeah.
But yeah, that now that you guys read that to me, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense for both of you.
Yeah.
Not in like an annoying way, but like, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm so curious. I mean, because I just guessed mine so completely wrong. I told Kyle I would like him to take it. I think he might be an obliger also, actually.
I think Kane might be an obliger.
That's
too.
So interesting. Yeah. That means we're all part of an obliger questioner relationship.
Yeah. I don't know who these rebels are.
It's really interesting.
Weird.
Well, it's interesting because so she talks about in the book how, you know, obviously our personalities are changing and evolving and like we might slip into other tendencies.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So they definitely overlap. Like upholder can overlap into obliger. Obliger can overlap into rebel. Rebel can overlap into questioner. Questioner into upholder. So they're all kind of, you can kind of overlap into all those different areas. You know, like, so myself, I can be kind of a rebel sometimes or an upholder. What's interesting, there is something called obliger rebellion, which she talks about, where like the obliger, so like myself, can get so fed up with meeting outer expectations that eventually you just blow up and like, I'm not doing fucking anything anymore.
Whoa.
And you basically are like, I'm done with all this shit, even though these expectations usually are not as like serious as you're making them, but because because you can hold those outer expectations, you feel like, I'm trying to think of an example, like, oh, like if I'm trying to get into this like work done by Friday for my boss, and I'm like putting that stress on myself to do that, and I get it in, and then she might say, oh, thanks so much. You didn't have to get this into me until next Wednesday or whatever. I put all that stress on myself, and I'm almost thinking like, well, I have to do this.
Yeah.
I have to do this because it's almost Friday and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do it. You know, it's like kind of spiral in your own head. Meanwhile, if I just fucking asked her about it, I got more time than I think.
Yeah.
So I think you can kind of get yourself riled up if you're not really taking care of yourself and setting boundaries and all that stuff.
Yeah, I definitely feel that way. I feel like I get like that when I overwork myself or I'm gone too much, and then at a certain point I go, I don't care who hates me. I don't care how much work I lose.
I don't care who hates me.
I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to that place. I'm not getting on another plane. And I don't care. Like if I get angry enough. I had a situation where I found out a booker paid me like half of what they had paid some male comics that were on the same shows doing the same time. And I got so angry that I just like emailed all of my team and was just like, hey, I'm not doing that anymore.
Right, right.
Like, I'm not doing that club anymore. I don't care how important that booker is. Like, I'm not doing it again.
Right.
And you know, once you calm down, you're like, well, maybe I should do that because, you know, expectations. But I think there's something healthy about that too, about slipping into that rebellion.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'm not meeting any
it's
of
survival.
Those expectations. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your inner expectations can, it's so murky, because a lot of my inner expectations for myself are based on how I want other people to perceive me.
Yeah.
So it's not even so much like I'm going to do this. Some of my goals are like that, like, oh, I'm going to take care of myself because that's what's good for me. But then other times I'm like, I'm going to be on the road this much. I'm going to work this much because I want everybody else to think that I'm working really hard. So are those inner expectations or are those outer expectations? And I think when you hit that wall of exhaustion and you just go like, I'm not going to expect anything from me. for a little while.
Yeah.
I think that can be healthy.
Yeah.
It's just a boundary.
Yeah. I wanted to refer to the book a little bit because my definition was a hot mess. So I found How to Understand and Protect Against Obliger Rebellion, which I've definitely experienced. So obligers often feel exploited, and they are, because after all, when it comes time to ask for someone's help, whom do we ask? An upholder, a questioner, a rebel, or an obliger? Obligers, of course, because they're the most likely to lend a hand. In her essay, The Rage Cage, writer Carolyn Knapp tells a very obligery story. There's a lot of great examples in here. Maybe this was not the thing that I wanted to find.
That makes sense, though, because I feel really comfortable asking for your help.
Yeah.
Because it feels like you're so willing to help.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just part of this. It's not like a sickness, but like your personality disorder just kind of, or not disorder, the... your personality type.
Yeah.
Sorry, we say the words personality and disorder together so often on this podcast. It's just like one word now. Right. Your personality type kind of like lends itself to just doing that automatically and like giving help, even if maybe you actually don't really want to and your plate's already too full.
Right.
You're just like, yeah, sure.
That's why I get nervous about asking for your help, Delaney.
Interesting.
Because I feel like you're always helping everybody and you're always so willing that I'm never going to know if you are actually... if you actually have the time to do it.
Yeah.
Or if you're just, you feel like, I don't want to feel like I'm burdening you.
Right.
With a question or anything like that. Even if it's just like advice or something.
Dude, that's so interesting to hear you guys say that. Because I don't know how like obvious that is. Like, I don't know. I'm just, the thing is I want to do everything. But I'm not, like we've talked about, I'm not a fucking superhuman, so I have to like set boundaries and say no, and saying no is so hard. But yeah, I've had, you know, other close people in my life being like, are you sure you're able to do this? Like, you know, cause like I do say yes more often than no. If I can kind of find a couple examples for both of our tendencies that might help people listening. So this is an obliger story. A friend asked me to walk her dog, a favor that sounds benign enough, but actually infuriated me. Her reasons for asking annoyed me. Her partner had the flu, which meant that she'd had to walk the dog twice the day before. She was also busy writing a paper for school, so taking the dog out twice for a second day felt unduly burdensome. I stood there while she told me this, and I thought, wait a minute. I walk my dog twice a day every day, and I'm always on deadline, and this request feels both ludicrous and insulting to me. But instead of telling her to suck it up and walk her own damn dog, I sucked it up, picked up the animal up at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God.
Dutifully trotted her around Fresh Pond, delivered her back to her owners, and walked around for the rest of the week feeling put upon, taken advantage of, and well, angry.
Wow.
So stuff like that where people, they do it anyway, even though we could easily say, you know what, like I'm really busy right now and I'm so sorry, I can't do that. I would say no to this, so I don't think I'm that severe. I would be like, bitch, you gotta walk your own dog. I'm sorry. I cannot. There's fucking, get an Uber for dogs now. Like, you got all those apps and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is like a good example of like, they'll agree to it even though they're so resentful that they're doing it.
Yeah.
I think this book has really helped me not get to that point anymore. I think I'm much better at like kind of seeing those, like taking better care of myself in that respect, knowing that I have that tendency to say yes and yes and yes to everything. I've said no recently to something that like made me super uncomfortable to say no to, but like when people want to spend time with you and you just don't have the time or mental energy and like you want to see everybody and you want, I've had to say, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm just too busy. I'm too busy.
Yeah.
I barely see my family, my best friends, get all my work done, see Cam enough.
Yeah.
I just sometimes don't have the extra room in my life to do all these other little things, you know?
Yeah. It's no surprise to me that you deal with the workaholism so much, because it sounds like obliger is just like particularly susceptible to that, just like taking on too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm going to get to some questioner stuff for you guys.
Yeah.
I didn't have any questioner stuff pulled up because I really didn't think you guys would be getting
You know, it's
so interesting.
Thing like to compare questioner and obliger just with you and me, Delaney, with the candida stuff.
Yes.
So questioners tend to be really good at like upholding their own expectations. Like maybe if you and I set a New Year's resolution, we'll like be able to hold it.
Yeah.
Like hold ourselves accountable and nobody else is making us, but just for us, we really want to.
Right.
So I've been on the Candida cleanse now for like almost 4 years and I really haven't cheated.
Yeah.
Like I've maybe tried
like a little thing of cheese or a little thing of bread, maybe like 3 or 4 times in 4 years.
Right.
And you got, and not to like put you down, but it's just interesting that like nobody else was keeping you accountable for this. This was just like on you to do.
Exactly.
And you were like really quick to be like, well, I'm going to try this, bring this back in and see if I can make it work. Yes. And like, so we need like different things to keep us in line. 100%. You know what I mean? Like, so anyway, I'm very proud of you, by the way.
No, I appreciate it. But that's exactly what the issue is that I would need you checking in with me once a week saying
like a cheese sponsor,
did you eat cheese this week? And then knowing that that question from you was coming, I could do it.
Really? Yeah.
But if that question doesn't come from any kind of outer, external person, I ain't doing it.
Do you want me to? Because I've kind of like forgotten to.
Yeah, you can.
But I also don't want to be like a pest.
No, I know.
Because it's like, again, with a questioner, if somebody did that to me, I'd be like, get the fuck off my dick. Like, I can do this myself. But
it's easy for Cam to do it since, you know, he lives with me and stuff. I'm also like trying to still figure out what does work with me because I've had dairy quite a few times now. That hasn't been like on bread and I've been okay. So I'm still trying to figure out what my intolerances are, but I think once I do, I will be able to do that, because to me it's like, well, if I know I'm going to get sick, that's almost like an external thing that's going to make me stick to my plan.
That's why I don't eat. That's why I'm so good about not eating dairy, because I'll just get sick. So what's the point?
Yeah.
Right.
So like I said, with Cam, I've mentioned this a couple times where when I wanted to produce and write and perform my own special, there was a lot to be had to be done in a short few months. And I needed somebody to kind of keep me on track, or I would just leave it to the last few weeks and be a dick about it. And, so I had him email me every Friday saying, what did you get done this week for this project? I'd email him back what I got done. And even if it was an automated message that he sent, it still worked because it was somebody else emailing me, asking about what I had gotten finished that week. And then there was a couple times where he forgot to email me, but I was in the habit of reporting to somebody every Friday that I ended up just emailing him instead, saying, this is what I got done this week.
Oh, that's great.
Even on the days that he forgot, I was in the habit of kind of checking in with somebody.
Yeah.
And even in this book, there's a lot of incredible examples, like real life examples on how you can, you know, work with your tendency. But there was something where, somebody's spouse is a questioner, or maybe it was like questioner or an obliger, I can't remember. But instead of asking her husband to do something, she'll have somebody else request it. So he'll actually do it, because sometimes what happens is you treat your spouse's needs the way that you treat your own needs. No. So for example, if I'm an obliger and I'm treating Cam as like an extension of myself, our needs are not as important as other people's needs. That's how I'm always going to see us as a couple. So if Cam, you know, wanted to get something done and I didn't think it was important, it might be better for like his friend to ask, like, hey, you guys should really think about this. And I'm like, oh, that's such a good idea, because I'm going to meet this external expectation of this person. I'm actually going to do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good things like
that. Do you ever feel rebellious when somebody, like if I told you, hey, remember to not eat bagels or something like that. Yeah. Would part of you be like, well, now I want to eat bagels because somebody's telling me not to, or do you not really have that
part?
No,
I think that's the rebel.
Okay.
The rebel would feel that way because they don't want to be told what to do.
Okay.
But for me, it's like, oh, thanks for the reminder. Somebody's keeping an eye on me.
Yeah.
I should probably do that better. You know,
that's super interesting.
It's really fucking weird. It's really, really weird. Well. Like you asking a few times, like, Delaney, try the BetterHelp thing.
Oh yeah.
I actually did it.
Yeah.
Because you asked a few times. I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to disappoint Kelsey, so I'm going to sign up.
Oh,
for
it. I feel terrible.
No, but like not in a bad way, I've been wanting to do that, but I've been putting it on the back
burner. But you can disappoint yourself and it's not a big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's something that's good for me.
Where does that come from, you think? Like being okay with disappointing yourself? Have you thought about like the roots of it?
I'm sure it's all childhood stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's always just wanting to make sure other people's needs are met before
my own. There's a certain, you're like a martyr.
Kind of. Which is like, I don't want to be that way. I want to get better with boundaries. And I think I have a lot, especially with, you know, talking to you guys and this podcast and everything. But I think it's probably taking care of certain people in my life that have maybe needed help.
Yeah.
more help than I thought I needed. So yeah. It's like, you know, I'm going through stuff right now, but their problem is a lot worse. So I'm going to focus on helping them before I help myself.
So do you feel like, because you're an obliger, do you feel like if Cam asked you to do something, but like one of his friends suggested it, you would be more likely to do that? Is that what you're saying?
I mean, it
or like
depends
someone
on
in his family, like yes. If he had said, I want us to go do this, and you're like, well, I don't think we need to go on that trip or whatever. And then his mom was like, you guys should really go do this together. And you'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I should.
Yeah. I would be more likely to do it if his mom recommended it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Very weird. Yeah. Because Cam's
that makes
like
a lot of sense. The not thinking both of your needs are as important as other people's.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
It's really strange.
Yeah, because when I'm in a relationship, I feel like I don't think about other people as much. I think about the other person's needs.
Yeah.
But I've definitely been with people where I feel like if I bring up the fact that I'm like, you know, like all my friends are in like really solid relationships. Like I don't have any like friends that are just like hooking up with people. Like these are the examples I have. Or if you mention like, if I've mentioned like my friends talking about their boyfriends or whatnot, something clicks where they go like, oh, I should, you're probably talking to your friends about me.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's almost like they want to impress your friends sometimes.
Yeah.
Of like,
yeah,
oh,
nobody.
I better make sure everyone.
Well, I think it was when we were talking about like rings too, how for a while I was trying to make Kane feel like, hey, no pressure. You don't have to get me some like big ring. And I was showing him these like just real, real sad rings, just like very bottom of the barrel. And he was like, I like that's kind that you're trying to like not make an expensive choice for me. But honestly, I do not want you wearing that because that's a reflection on me too. It's like, I want you to wear something you love. And also like selfishly, I don't want people to look at me like, what the fuck's wrong with you, dude? Like that's how much you value your fiance that you think she's worth that little piece of shit, you know?
Right, they want to be proud of their own purchase.
Right.
Too. That makes sense.
But if other people weren't involved in that, who knows? Maybe he would be like, well, if you're fine with it.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not sure. I mean, there's so much mental stuff with like weddings and engagements
and
all that.
And being a dude must be so hard.
Like, oh, yeah.
With that, Anna Faris was talking about that on Unqualified.
Oh, yeah.
This week. I was listening. Did you hear that one?
No.
Somebody called in and said, I forget who the guest was. I want to say it was Kelly Ripa.
Okay.
And the girl that called in was like, I told my fiance who has a lot of debt, like, I'm fine paying for part of my ring, like or like even just buying it,
right?
And they were like, well, yeah, but that's kind of, they were like, well, you know, maybe you just focus on the debt. And then Sim, who's the producer, was like, hey, just so you guys know, as a dude, I would hate that so much. Like it's emasculating.
Like,
I don't want you to pay for it. I want to pay for it. Okay. And even if you don't care, it's not about you, you know?
Yeah.
It's about
me. Interesting. I just had it happen again with Kane, where the place that we got, the current ring I have. So it's like, there's an engagement ring and then there's the wedding band.
Yes. Yeah.
The place that we went to gives the men's wedding band to you for free.
That's amazing.
So cool.
So for me, that's like, well, then I usually in a different situation, a different store, would have to spend this money. But now Kane bought me an engagement ring and he has to spend additional money on a wedding band. So I told him a couple days ago, I was like, hey, I've just been thinking about it. If you want me to buy the wedding band, I mean, the wedding band is significantly less money than the actual engagement ring.
Right.
I was like, if you want me to buy my wedding band, so that way it's a little bit more like balanced since I'm not actually having to buy it. And he was like, don't even, like, seriously, he's like, please don't suggest anything like that. Like, there's no way I'll let you do that. Like, absolutely not. Yeah. I will buy your wedding band. Like,
which
I don't
care.
Which
is very nice, but I would totally have said exactly what you said.
Right?
Like, this just makes sense. I would have had to buy that anyway.
Right.
Right.
So, I don't know. But I'm always, like, weird with money like that. Right now, I'm like, okay, well, I feel like I should pay for more of the wedding because he spent X amount of money on something that I haven't had to spend money on. Anyway.
Those are those inner expectations.
Yes.
Like a good person would spend this money and keep it even and all these things. And I don't care about spending more money. I just want to feel like the other person's putting an effort, too.
Yeah.
And then once I feel like that, I'm like, all right, well, I'll spend more money. Okay.
If we had tons of money, I probably wouldn't be doing the whole like playing, you know, adding shit up all the time. Yeah. But just because I'm aware of our financial situations, I'm like, well,
I just want
to. You kind of have to at this point.
Yeah.
In your lives. It sucks. Being in your 20s is hard.
Yeah.
You guys want to hear about the questioner?
Yes.
Oh, I love it. It says understanding the questioner. But why? That's under it.
That's, that's what you were saying.
Yeah. Stuff. But why?
But why though? Why?
Okay. So at work, at home, and in life, we all confront both outer and inner expectations. While upholders readily meet both outer and inner expectations, questioners meet only inner expectations. And that includes outer expectations that they've turned into inner expectations.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. Hey,
there
and
it
accepting
is.
Those inner expectations, questioners show a deep commitment to information, logic, and efficiency. They want to gather their own facts, decide for themselves, and act with good reason. They object to anything they consider arbitrary, ill-reasoned, ill-informed, or ineffective. Many, many people are questioners. Only the obliger tendency has more members. For questioners, how do outer expectations become inner expectations? Questioners meet an expectation only if they endorse it as efficient and reasonable. For instance, a questioner thinks, my father keeps reminding me to get my oil checked, but I don't think that's necessary now, so I'll ignore him. Or the sign above the office kitchen sink says that we're supposed to do our own dishes, but washing mugs isn't a productive use of my time. It's more efficient to let the night staff wash up, so I'll leave my mug here in the sink.
That's a real asshole question.
Yeah, that's all right. We're not like that.
Yeah, jeez.
I think, I just kind of like
we're mug washing questioners.
Yes.
They're simplifying it. Okay, here we go. On the other hand, a questioner readily meets an outer expectation that's well justified because it then becomes an inner expectation. A questioner thinks, my teacher explained that I'll finish my math homework more quickly once I've memorized the multiplication tables, so I want to get that done. Or, my wife has wanted me to clean out the guest room for months, but we never use the guest room, so I refuse to do it. Now that we have guests coming in a few weeks, I'll do it. Stuff like that. You just need a good enough reason to do that thing.
I need it debated with me.
You need it debated.
Yeah, I do that with my manager all the time, where she's like, you need to do this. And I'm like, okay, tell me exactly why. Because I'm not going to spend that time and money to go do that thing unless it's worth it.
Right. You guys were kind of talking about this. Because questioners are wholly inner directed, once they make up their minds about the right course of action, they follow through without much difficulty. Mm-hmm. And they resist expectations without much difficulty, too. Questioners have the self-direction of upholders, the reliability of obligers, and the authenticity of rebels. Questioners may question even the most basic customs and assumptions. Do I want to be married? If you're my boss, do I have to do what you tell me to do? Why shouldn't children be allowed to curse like adults?
These are all great questions.
Yeah.
Right? For questioners, it's crucial that an expectation seem reasonable and justified. They resist rules for rules' sake. A questioner wrote, so this is an example from a questioner, I decide on a case-by-case basis what rules I'll follow. I take more than 6 items into the fitting room if no one's checking, because it's inconvenient to keep going in and out.
Totally.
Responsible person.
Oh my God, I'm not gonna fucking shoplift. I don't wanna keep walking in and out with like half a skirt on to get these 2 pairs of shoes. Just let me fucking put them on.
That's so funny. Do a quick background check on me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Here's my ID.
I'm the person who might accidentally take 7 items in and come out and be like, oh, sorry, I accidentally took one in.
What?
That is so.
Oh my God.
I would never. I hand them back and I go, yeah, I did that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's so funny.
Oh my God, it's so good. Because it's inconvenient to keep going in and out. I think the rule is in place not only to prevent theft, which I would never do, but to move things along if there's a line. Since I only shop during off hours, there never is a line. So I don't think the rule makes sense. Hence, I don't follow it.
Why can't I talk in the movie theater? There's no one else in here.
Preach.
Yep.
Oh my
God. This book is incredible though. Like,
it's a great book.
There's examples like that for every single tendency. And then they also go into chapters about which tendencies work well as a couple and how to understand your spouse's or significant other or any family member or friend's tendency and how to work, you know, how to work with it. It's just seriously, like I really suggest this read for anybody. Yeah.
The 4 Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin.
The 4 Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin.
Who also has a podcast.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't it called Something Happy? Happier?
The happy something. It is Something Happy.
Yeah.
It's, I've listened to a few.
We got to wrap up.
Yeah, we got to wrap up.
Everybody read that book. Please share us what, if you have, I think a lot of people have read this because we got a ton of emails about this book too, on top of, I got this as a gift, this book as a gift. And then, you know, people have been, hoping that we would cover it. So write in what your tendency is and what kind of things that you've done to help yourself and work with your tendency. I would love to know any tips from any of you to share with our listeners.
Awesome. Remember to check out the Patreon if you want bonus episodes and prizes. It's patreon.com/selfhelpless. Check out betterhelp.com/selfhelpless if you're interested in seeing how that goes. And kelseycook.com for tour dates. And please go buy my album, Savor It.
Woo!
Yay!
Thanks, guys.
And then ttomcomedy.com for tour dates. ttomcomedy on Instagram. Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter.
DelaneyFisher.com and DicksByDelaney.com. DicksByDelaney is happening. At DicksByDelaney on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Thank you to everybody who has been purchasing mugs and shot glasses and salt and pepper shakers. You guys are hilarious with the things that you're requesting. It's been really, really fun.
Awesome. Cool. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Why won't it let me?